Hey everyone, welcome again this week to the Phil Pringle C3 Church Global Podcast. Such a pleasure to have you on board. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening in and subscribing. And if you haven't subscribed yet, we'd love you to do that. Hit that subscribe button and we'll turn up in your inbox every week with fresh content. We're working hard to make this as relevant and as useful and helpful as possible. So it's not like we're preaching messages from church on Sunday. We're not actually using those. We're not even doing interviews, as it were, but we're having conversations with people who are actively involved in particular areas of church life so that we know this will be helpful for people right now, today. This isn't information or conversations regarding things that were happening 10 years ago or even 10 weeks ago. We would like to be completely relevant to our times right now and how you can make sure that you're being effective in a digital world. So I have with me Mitch Hammond, who is our digital director here at C3SYD. Great to have you here with us,
Thank
Mitch.
You, Pastor Phil. Good to be here.
And also have Kaylee Karotz, who is an artist extraordinaire on camera and on the stage and behind a microphone. So great to have you here, Kaylee.
Thanks, Pastor Phil.
Both these guys are quite youthful, which is great because we need to be reaching a generation of people who are sometimes a lot younger than the pastors who are in the pulpit. So, guys, I have found that the digital world is quite different to the church service on a Sunday world.
Yes.
How different is it, Mitch?
Yeah, it's totally different. Obviously, it's a whole new world. I think the biggest immediate difference is that it's not restricted to time or place. Mm-hmm. I think, obviously, church services have always been a certain time in a certain building for obvious reasons. Right. You know, it's just physical. But when it's online, that automatically goes out the window. So the scope into which we can minister and the parameters has totally changed, which is exciting. It presents a massive opportunity.
Yeah. Just jump in anytime, Kayle.
No, I agree. I think it's exciting in a way because of the reach. Mm. Even when we first went into lockdown here and we went online, even when we're just I was looking online of who's on, there were people that were online watching that haven't been in a church building in so long or people that, you know, are living in different states now or overseas. And so I think the reach of it is really exciting that it can reach probably more than we could in one service on a Sunday in
a church
building.
I think a lot more. Yeah, I think a lot more. But we've got to understand, I think, the engagement factor.
Yeah, definitely.
Because if we think that we just duplicate the church service on Sunday and put it on a podcast or online service in a studio, it actually isn't going to work.
Yeah, so true.
So how have you found that preaching to a camera is different than actually preaching on a stage?
Yeah, I found it quite different. I think you almost need to prepare differently. I think you need to almost prepare more. Mm-hmm. For a camera than on stage, because you need to think about so many different elements. Like, are you going to sit down? Are you going to stand up? You know,
what do you think's better?
I think standing, personally.
Standing? Yeah, because some people like sitting. Right? Yeah. I like them both.
Yeah.
What do you?
I think it depends what you're doing. I think for preaching, I think it definitely adds some engagement standing because you've got the liberty to kind of move around a bit more. But I actually think for the online space, the discussion, conversational approach can be really effective. And so with a couple
that's
of chairs,
sitting down, right?
Better sitting down.
Yeah.
It creates a sense of warmth. It's conversational. You're not, because I think when you're online, you're not preaching to 200 people or, you know, a big crowd where you have to be that in terms of animated to capture a whole audience. Really, you're speaking into someone's living room.
Yeah.
And so the tone does change. And so you to design the set and the tone to meet like it is a lounge room, can be really useful.
Now, I've found that when I'm preaching online, I've been doing this actually quite a long time because we did TV shows for 30 years. Mm. And so we were kind of ready with our studio and cameras and stuff. But the ability to look down that camera and see a person is super important.
Yeah,
because if you're just preaching into the air, you can be kind of inappropriate.
It's true.
Somebody sitting in a lounge chair listening to somebody yelling at them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You never want somebody in that lounge room to say, turn him down.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing is it's so easy these days to turn off a device.
Right. Yes.
It's a lot easier to turn off a device than walk out of a physical service.
Right.
So people will kind of sit through a service because they just don't want to be the one that's walking through the crowd.
Yeah, while captive audience.
But to turn off a device, if they're not liking it,
boom,
straight away. So I think we've got to be a lot more intentional around keeping people and doing everything we can with our language, to make them feel like they want to be there.
Yeah, I do think that you can't be yelling.
Totally.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think you can't be shrill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, without, you know, sort of like differentiating, I do think ladies sometimes just have got to be careful.
Yes, definitely.
That they don't get into that shrill zone. Like a guy has got to be careful that he doesn't sound like he's shouting.
Right, exactly.
Abusive or angry or judgmental.
Yeah.
I think if the volume is controlled, then people find it a lot more easy to accept what's being said.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as you're saying, you've got to remember you're speaking to one person,
mm-hmm.
you know, in their living room or at the gym or something, in the car.
Right.
Mm. It's so different to the congregation looking out to 100 or so people. So
exactly.
So it's that one person you're reaching. So you don't want to be like shouting in their face.
Right.
Exactly right. I think as well, we've got to remember online, because the scope is so much bigger, the audience is so much broader in terms of who we're talking to. We're not speaking to one demographic or one area in a city.
Right.
We really could be speaking to people across the world. And so I think just thinking through that of how we're framing things, illustrations and stories we're using, that it is got a broader global mindset, is going to keep people as well.
Yeah, it's important to get over ourselves, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Like, I have got a message to preach.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
And it's going to take 50 minutes.
Right.
Well, you got to forget all that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
What do you think is the ideal time for somebody to preach, Mitch?
Yeah, it's a good question. Depends who it is, probably. But
the standard Joe Blow.
Yeah, right.
Not Pastor Phil.
Boss, I mean, you could go on forever.
Oh, yeah, please.
Honestly, I would think shorter is better. That would be my default response. I think if it is a service and your audience is your church and you're still all doing church services, I think 20 is a good amount. I'd be careful to go. I would be very reluctant to go over that.
TED Talks have reduced their talk time.
Mm.
I heard recently from 18 minutes, which they considered the perfect attention span time.
Right.
But they've reduced it to 13.
Yes,
I had heard. So you see, our attention span is going down.
I think you look at the online space. It is different. Most TV shows that they segment things for a very specific reason to keep people engaged, and so it's about, I think, 5 to 7 minutes. They constantly change the dynamic with an ad break or a different segment, and so I think thinking through that, and making it more to the point, there is less. There's less distraction in a service. You can play off the crowd interaction. And so you can linger and there's other elements at play. When it's online, it's just you.
Right.
And so you can be a lot more precise
with
the way you do what you do.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was reading something last night online from America and they were saying from the statistics they've done that 12 to 17 minutes, they reckon, is that ideal time to preach online.
I would say that.
Yeah, yeah, so anywhere in that.
I would say that. And I think you need to use a bit more drama in the way that you speak.
Yeah, the camera kind of dulls you down a bit, doesn't it?
It does. Mm. I'm not saying become overtly dramatic, but your voice should carry, like I'm just trying to do that a little bit now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
But if you want to grab people's attention.
You're professional.
So exciting.
You need to, not without becoming artificial.
Yeah, it's good.
You should be able, with a few gaps, highs and lows, lights and darks, which is what preaching's all about anyway. If you read Charles Spurgeon's lectures to my students on the art of preaching, one of the greatest books ever for preachers, he talks about light and dark and illustrations and telling the story. scary, and you don't need to be shouting to get attention.
Yeah, it's good.
You can talk like that. You can go into an appropriate tone to the story that you're telling.
Yeah, yes, great.
Exactly right. Yeah, and you have more things at your disposal. You know, I think as we go into the future, I think we need to get more creative. And look at other industries even. What are they doing? What are the best YouTube channels doing? What are different broadcasts?
Tell us what they are doing.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we've got to, rather than just being one-dimensional down right. a camera, let's get creative with our locations, with our places, with the visuals. And, you know, I watched a great preach the other day where it was a constant one shot where he's constantly walking around an amazing sort of facility, this old castle, and preaching. And so the visuals in the background were actually adding to the preach and to the story. So I think let's think through that. Let's think through how we can take advantage of the devices we've got.
What about people who don't have those kind of resources?
Yeah, well, totally. I think that's simple. We can use, you don't need the best cameras, the best lighting. I think we have the world's pretty amazing around us in terms of locations. So we can easily grab, you know, a simple camera or a phone even. It's amazing what you can do.
It is.
The best content happening online is on phones.
Yes.
To be honest, the most engaged with content is coming off people's devices in terms of on Instagram stories.
People are used to it, right?
They're used to it.
Yeah.
They're shooting vertical. They're shooting for 60 seconds and they're getting amazing content and engagement.
Yeah. And I think that if you can keep it short and you let people know, hey, for the next 8 minutes.
Yes.
I would like to share with you four truths.
Yes.
About this. And I think if you, at the beginning, announce what you're going to do, it's like remember when we used to fly?
Yes.
They bring a menu.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You couldn't change. You couldn't order what you wanted, but it just let you know what's coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that helps people to, if you say, I'm speaking about this today.
Yeah.
And for the next 8 minutes or 9 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to share that because you want to reserve 2 minutes for ministry or reaching out to people. Yeah. And that forces you to be very mentally disciplined.
It's true.
Because you know you've got 4 points and you're going to give 2 minutes to each point.
Yeah.
And so when you're online, this is extremely important. I find after years of preaching in front of cameras, it's like I got a metronome in my head.
Yeah, right.
And without even a clock, I can feel the timing of that camera. Yeah. You know, it's coming to an end. But if and then you clip it at 2 minutes, you create your own segments.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And the beauty of that.
Keeps engagement.
Keeps engagement and shareable.
Yeah.
And so if you've got segments, you can, you know, you're empowering your whole congregation or your community to then take, say, a 60-second, a two-minute clip, and they can share it in their networks. And suddenly you've got this snackable, shareable content. And you're not asking your neighbor to watch a 60-minute service, but just a two-minute clip on anxiety.
Right.
Suddenly you're empowering
That's
people.
That's such a good idea. Two-minute clip on anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
Hurry up and get out anxious.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't stress. Yeah. That's good. And just remembering where people are coming from, you know, like people are watching online at home with young families.
Right.
Like I remember when we were watching online, like, you know, I'm trying to engage, but then my son needs food and my daughter needs help on the toilet, you know. So if I'm trying to sit through 40 minutes and like I've got all this going on, it's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
No, so whereas if you have these segments, I can sort of like, oh, okay, yep, got that, quickly do this, come back. You know, like it keeps the engagement level practically with what people are going through at home, even during COVID and
And I think,
these seasons.
I think in church life, we tend to preach towards a call to action.
Right.
So we preach for 25 minutes and spend the last 5 minutes on a call to action.
Yes.
Or a ministry moment, like I mentioned before. Mm. However, I think it's almost the opposite online.
Right.
Because If a third, a quarter to a third of your people are going to actually click off towards the end when they sense it's, it is far better to have had that call to action right up front. And I know from experience and from surveys that people who do that get a far greater, by hundreds of percents greater response.
Yeah, that's good.
To the call for salvation.
Yeah.
Rededication, offerings, engagement in volunteer serving, any of those areas. If it's somewhere at the beginning to the middle,
Yes.
And I think that in our preaching, we should actually arrange to make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. Well, even I know recently with our online service, we've shifted even just prayer to go a bit longer at the beginning before the preach, just so there is that moment people can engage and feel the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, because as you're saying, by the end, they're like, okay, that's the end now, and they might miss that moment, you know? So I think that's really good, powerful. It's
true. I think most people, you know, for any video content, they judge it within the first 10 seconds.
Yeah. I think you might be lucky to even get 10 seconds.
Even three.
I reckon it's about three.
And so I think, being so intentional about how we start, but it's going to set the tone for everything. And so I think what you're saying about creating that anticipation from the first word of what they're going to get.
Right.
Otherwise, if 10 seconds and nothing's happened.
Yeah. Well, we encourage people to log on early, though, too.
Yes.
Like 10 minutes before the service.
Right.
So we take, and you know, as part of our team here, we take as much time designing the beginning, the first 5 to 10 minutes before the service starts, as we do the service itself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, both you guys have been in that pre-service show.
Mm. Yes.
And tell us what you do.
Yeah. So obviously, we're welcoming people. We're creating the first experience. Really, I think that's the key. Is that that the first impression is a positive one.
Right.
Is a warm.
You're like the people at the door. Well, in a church service.
Yeah, exactly, the welcomers.
Yeah. The welcomers, the digital welcomers.
And so you're fun. It's got to be fun
Fun. But it's also informative. And so particularly with families, if they do have kids, we're giving them the instructions of how they can actually practically set up their family to watch and enjoy that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the engagement from straight away. So we're like, get on the chat, chat with us. If you want a prayer request, put it in. Mm-hmm. Like, trying to get that online engagement, because we know if they engage, they're going to get more out of it.
Right. Yeah.
So straight away, from even before the service starts, engage with us, chat with us, put in a prayer request. If you're new, let us know. Yeah. So straight away, even before the service starts, they may feel a part of it.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, one of the rules, if you like, unsaid rules of being successful in social media is not to be too salesy.
Yes.
It's true.
And to not be primarily trying to sell something.
Yeah.
So I think that the pre-service presentation, show, whatever it is, should not be just saying, we've got a retreat coming up, men, book in now. We got this coming up. Make sure you do this. Because that is actually more of a disengager than anything else. Just having a couple people welcoming and saying, hey, it's fun to be here.
Yeah. Bit of banter.
And being helpful, like you say, with what to do with your kids and that.
Yeah.
But I think it's a mistake to start thinking this is an opportunity to sign people up for this. Or,
right. That's so true.
Yeah. So I think we have to constantly be aware of, we are entering someone's home.
Right.
And I think that's such a privilege, to be honest. Because when they come to church, they're coming to come in our house in a way. But we're, every time we, share online or we're entering someone's living room.
Totally.
And so being aware what tone and what atmosphere we're actually bringing into their house.
Sure.
And they're actually inviting us in, and so that we carry a sense of like, hey, we're honored to be in your home.
Yeah.
That's a good tone. To
and that courteous feeling is awesome, Kales. Yeah. Yeah. Tell us what you think. As a woman, what actually is going to help you into a greater level of engagement online?
Yeah, I think keeping it personal is really important.
Wow.
Speaking into people's lives where they're at right now.
Yeah.
So obviously we all know what season we're in at the moment. So even speaking into that, I love when you preach online at the end or at the beginning, you always do like a Holy Spirit moment. You'll pray for someone with needs, or you'll have a word for someone.
Right.
I just think that is so important and it's engages people.
That's great.
Hearts.
That's that's a great piece of feedback for me, actually, because not everybody is in a hurry to say that, even though it may be appreciated. But getting that word is, I don't think you have to think, oh, like there's somebody out there with a sore ankle.
Yes. Right.
It's just that you can take a sense that the Holy Spirit is saying something to you about a condition that would be general for anybody, like back injuries or depression or and if you are, and to have a real faith that God is going to help you help those people is super important. This is one of the greatest things about being online. that you can actually do this. And I've got so many stories.
Yeah. Mm.
I have some terrible stories, if you like, as well, of people nearly suicidal, holding a gun underneath, you know, and themselves and are about to do it. And then they see us on online and decide they're not going to.
Mm. It's a miracle, really.
It's so, the it's opportunity amazing. Is so amazing.
Yeah,
and I've heard of several instances of that happening. And who knows how God is going to use what you're putting out there.
Right.
Just to put it in the right place at the right time.
Totally. I think it's so important.
We had just a couple of weeks ago, Vicky Simpson was preaching and had a word, a specific word, with someone's name.
Right.
And she got an email the next day of that person saying, I never watch online. It was a coincidence, because the weather, all this kind of stuff had happened that morning.
They couldn't get a park at church.
They couldn't get, so they went home.
That's what I heard.
Watched online.
Yeah.
And Vicky had the word for them and just shifted something in their life.
Yeah.
So I think, I think we should never disqualify that it's a lesser version.
Right.
Because God's not restricted by that medium at all. I think about even the scriptures. The scripture is like online in a way. It was written, thousands of years ago, yet it's on demand to us today in the same way that online content is on demand for us, but it still carries that same power.
Exactly. Look, just a couple more things I want to chat about is the hybrid model, where we've got both happening at the same time.
Sure.
Like you're preaching on Zoom.
Yep.
And you're preaching to 100 people in the room.
In the room.
Because of the restrictions.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Mm.
What are you going to do about that in terms of, in my view, I'm always trying to get people to actually reach out beyond themselves. Like even on this podcast, friend, people are listening, to take it further than ourselves.
Yeah.
To tag a friend and say, hey, you should listen to this. This could help. Or to just pass it on. And I mean, this particular podcast may not be relevant to you, but there will be one somewhere along the line that is going to be relevant. And I just think urging people all the time to send a message to somebody else, log onto the Zoom, log onto this website, whatever we're broadcasting through. I just think that, but getting back to my question, what do you think, if I'm preaching to both, should I prefer one over the other or just go for it?
I think the people in the room, just because they're in the room, are going to feel already a stronger sense of engagement because you're in the same room.
Right.
I think we have to be very intentional if we are doing the hybrid and we do have people, connecting in digitally as well. They're always going to feel slightly on the outer from the start.
Yeah.
So I think our language is key. So inclusive language, where we're constantly taking moments throughout the service, throughout the message, to refer to them specifically. If it is obviously down a camera, if you can look down that camera, so it looks like you're looking to them. And I would treat it like a digital row in the room. So it's not like a secondary thing. It's a digital version of one of the seating rows.
That's great.
And so I think you don't treat them any different. You treat them as if they're in the room. And our language around like, oh, if only you were here. Or like, oh, maybe next week you could try a little harder. I think all that's
terrible.
Because we're actually dismissing our digital strategy by doing that.
That's so important.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's so important to not give onliners a second class citizenship.
Right.
Yeah.
Just everybody, they made the trouble to get online, appreciate them, say thank you, and encourage them. And the good thing with Zoom is that their names appear.
Yes.
So you can even say their name back then. We're doing this on the 5th of November when we're going to have 300 faces on that screen.
Amazing.
All with their names. And I'm so looking forward to preaching to that.
Mm.
We've got a very big screen.
Mm.
Anthony Robbins, eat your heart out. It's going to be huge. And so we're going to be doing that 5th of November. Make sure you register if you're listening. And hopefully this podcast goes up before then. And one last thing I wanted to talk about is related to that language thing that you just mentioned then. Engaging people who've never been experiencing church life at your church, at our church.
Mm.
What do you think is key to that, Kales?
Online?
Yeah.
Oh, so many things.
Yeah.
I think the key is trying to connect with them.
Right.
trying to meet them online somehow.
Find the points that you can deliver and that they have a need in.
Yeah.
If you can patch those two together.
Yeah.
And that's why churches should figure out what can we deliver really, really well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what is the segment of need in the community that we can marry those two together?
Yes.
No use trying to give something you haven't got to people who are not itching in that area.
Yes, totally. I agree. Mm. And finding that connection point and then responding, you know, being there for that person, helping meet needs.
That's so big.
You know, showing kindness.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking a lot about just asking if we can pray for people in church. Just finding
that's a catch cry of ours, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How can we pray for you?
Just finding that moment where we can connect with that person. Yeah. First and foremost is just such a priority.
Yeah. So a point of of pain or desire or anxiety.
Yeah.
These are points of connection, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Huge.
I think typically an uninitiated person will have a topical bent. Right. And so I think in our preparation for online is not going straight down the heavy scripture route, but like just thinking through our messages that they're starting from a topical point of view that is a need or a hurt in the community that we can address. And then we slowly bring in the answer through scripture.
So it's not a Bible college.
It's not a Bible college.
It's not even a Bible study.
No, it's just a helpful piece of wisdom.
Using a scripture.
Using a scripture.
Yeah.
But we're framing it in a way that they understand.
Yeah. And like you say, the language, think it through so carefully because that becomes a wall or a bridge, right?
Totally.
Yeah. We you can say the same thing with different language.
Yeah.
And you're for some people, it's religiously hard for them to do that.
Right. Yeah.
They feel like they're somehow compromising the message.
Yes, right.
But you're not.
Mm. Yeah.
You've got to package it in a way that people are actually going to receive it and open it up.
Exactly.
And understand it.
Yeah.
So people that have never been in church, never heard the gospel, you start speaking scripture 24/7, they're not 100% going to understand it. Whereas if you're like, oh, you've got anxiety, you know, let me pray for you.
Yeah.
Don't be anxious. You know, that's a scripture, but we're not shoving it down their throats, you know. Exactly. We're bringing it to them.
What needs do you think are prevalent in the world right now?
I definitely think anxiety, depression are huge.
Yeah.
Even amongst children, youth, I mean, every age group.
Yeah.
Like,
that's amazing.
You could speak to anyone about those two issues and there would be massive mental health.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's another big one.
Yeah, I think probably they're very connected, but I think the relationship, especially at the moment, the isolation issue, which I think is obviously affecting the cycle of anxiety and that feeling of disconnect, all that mental health stuff. But I think interrelationships and...
Right. Well, the Bible's got tons to say about all of this, and it's got great stories to relate to with the whole thing. And I feel like we've got answers. It's simply a matter of... delivering them in a way. And also I would say don't expect too much from people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect them to make one giant leap from not being a Christian or in church or even interested over to actually now becoming an online believer or coming along to your church full of strangers.
A series of little steps.
Yes, lots of little steps.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, what would a little step be?
Watching again.
Yeah.
That's watching for the whole time, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's a little step. Maybe putting in their email address to subscribe, any of those moments.
I would say that giving you their information is almost a big step.
Almost a big step. You're right.
Yeah.
And so don't be rushing and trying to get a decision for Christ, I guess, in a couple of hits.
Yeah.
It may take a year.
Yeah. I think that's the whole point of with our content online, whether it's live or on demand through the week, is that it is designed in a way that is a path. It's a journey. Journey where one piece of content leads to the next piece of content, and we're taking people on a kind of a funnel towards a path of into Christ.
Well, Alpha's like that, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Does a brilliant job. Yeah, so we're so happy to have had you with us today, Kaylee and Mitch. You're doing such a brilliant job, and we're looking forward to being with you again next week on our podcast. If you would like to get in touch with any C3 church in the world, make sure you look us up online, See Through Church Global, and you'll see addresses and online services of many, many different kinds. We're in 64 countries of the world and on 6 different continents. And so you'll be able to get in touch with us at any time. And we'd love to have you come join us in worship. God bless you. Thanks for being with us again today. See you soon.